Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. Thank you for joining us today as this holy season of preparation for the celebration of the birth of our Savior winds down and begins to be replaced by a great eagerness and joy for the eternal Word to enter anew into our hearts and world. I'm Monica Siefker, and on today's program, I'll be interviewing Mr. David Bangs, who coordinates the Abortion Pill Reversal Ministry here in Indiana. Dave's going to talk about what happens when a woman regrets having taken the abortion pill and what can be done to reverse the abortion process and save the baby's life. But as always, let's lead off with a prayer from Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. God of life, we rejoice in the promise of your coming. You have sent your Son, born in Bethlehem. He is the Prince of Peace and the one in whose name all oppression shall cease. May we welcome his coming each day and prepare for his coming at the end of time. May we build a culture that welcomes him by welcoming every child, born and unborn. We pray through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's go now to this week's In the News. A number of former and current Planned Parenthood employees are making the claim that the organization mistreats and discriminates against pregnant employees and new mothers. The workers came forward publicly, they said, because Planned Parenthood has refused to address the alleged mistreatment. Complaints against the abortion giant include managers ignoring doctor-recommended requests for breaks for pregnant workers, pressure to delay maternity leave as well as to return work early, and being turned away from promotions. 49 of Planned Parenthood's 55 regional offices do not provide paid maternity leave, according to the New York Times. Last year, Christine Charbonneau, manager of Planned Parenthood's regional office in Seattle, Washington, pursued the idea of covering maternity leave costs for her region. The estimated $2 million price tag forced her to abandon the benefit. Paying for maternity leave, Ms. Charbonneau said, could force her to close clinics. It is easy to accuse someone of hypocrisy if you're not the one trying to find $2 million out of thin air, she said. You try to be the Planned Parenthood that donors expect, and yet it is unattainable. Planned Parenthood's annual report for the 2016-2017 fiscal year showed its net assets totaled more than $1.6 billion, with the group directing more than $174 million annually to management salaries, $40 million to public policy, and $175 million to nebulous categories such as engaging communities. A 19-state coalition has joined together this past week to issue a friend of the court brief, urging the U.S. Supreme Court to uphold state laws banning abortion based on disability, gender, or race. The amicus brief is led by Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel and is filed on behalf of the Indiana Department of Health and 18 other states. All are joining the plea for the Supreme Court to review and uphold Indiana's law that seeks to prohibit abortion from being used as a tool to eliminate any particular segment of the population. In September of 2016, U.S. District Judge Tanya Walton Pratt, a professed Catholic, ruled in favor of Planned Parenthood and the ACLU against Indiana's Down syndrome abortion ban. It remains to be seen whether the High Court will take up the case in 2019. According to Live Action News, Planned Parenthood employees in Tennessee are crying foul over claims that abortions at its Nashville facility were suspended due to a shortage of abortion providers. Instead, workers claim that Planned Parenthood's mismanagement and prioritization of profits over patients were to blame. Workers speaking under anonymity due to fear of retaliation claim the Nashville abortion business has been in dire financial straits for some time now, and that maximizing profit has been the driving force for the abortion center. Sources say that doctors were not provided with sterile gloves, and small plastic drinking cups were used to collect urine samples because they were cheaper. During one three-week stretch, three abortion doctors left the clinic. Earlier this month, Nashville became abortion-free after the Planned Parenthood in the city stopped aborting unborn babies. The Bloomington Planned Parenthood sees a handful of women every year make their way to Indiana to get an abortion. The past two Thursdays have seen an increase in the number of abortions performed at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Approximately 26 women came into Planned Parenthood this past Thursday, right before the Christmas holiday. It was reported that one young lady was visibly upset and sobbing uncontrollably uncontrollably as she shouted to her male companion, "It's not my choice," before going in. Please pray for this young lady and for all of those women who went through an abortion this past Thursday. Local pro-lifers are hoping and praying that the Bloomington Planned Parenthood will not do abortions during Christmas week. And that's your weekly In the News. Okay, on the phone with me now is Dave Bangs, abortion pill reversal advocate. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Monica.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today and talk about this apostolate that I know is so near and dear to your heart. And Dave, you and I have known each other for a few years now, and I can honestly tell my listeners what a jewel and a blessing you are to the pro-life movement and to the body of Christ in general.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, I have mentioned before on this program how the Gabriel Project and its volunteers, which of course includes you, you were so instrumental in helping Bloomington take it up a notch or two in our pro-life efforts here. And you drove the mobile pregnancy care center unit, which was called Gabriel, down from Indianapolis to Bloomington every Thursday for a year or two, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. I did. That was a pleasure to do that.
Yeah, and it was a big sacrifice, and it gave us a strong foundation to build upon, Dave, and we're just always so grateful for that. So, but tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your family, where you live, what you do in your spare time, if you have any.
that's a loaded question,
yeah.
I guess. I live in Kokomo. I'm a retired airline pilot. I was an airline pilot for 25 years. My life now is almost exclusively pro-life work. I'm a sidewalk counselor, a post-abortion peer counselor, a Rachel's Vineyard retreat facilitator. I serve on the board of directors of a pregnancy care center that's got 12 centers in Illinois and Indiana, and on the leadership team of another pregnancy center. Abortion pill reversal, obviously, is a big part of my ministry. So pro-life is my life.
It sounds like it. Yeah,
and that's I have three children and six grandchildren. Thanks be to God.
Wonderful. Yeah, and that's a big pro-life statement right there, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So, what made you decide to go into the abortion pill reversal side of things?
Well, I had been a sidewalk counselor for several years, and I am post-abortive myself. So, I eventually started after my own healing, got involved in post-abortion ministry, and the abortion pill reversal is sort of a perfect marriage of those two things, because there is a post-abortion aspect to it. After the woman has taken the abortion pill, and she's still vulnerable for abortion as well. So the prevention has not gone away because the baby still exists. So it was sort of dropped in my lap. I actually feel like it was a gift of grace that I got involved in the very first reversal in the state of Indiana and have been since.
Wow, that's great. Okay, so Dave, last week, Rhonda and I took our listeners through all of the different abortion methods, and we described what happens to the mother and the baby during these procedures. So just by way of a quick review, tell us, how does the abortion pill work?
Well, first of all, abortion pill is a little bit of a misnomer, because there's actually several pills and a combination of two drugs. But usually when we talk about abortion pill, we're talking about what we used to know as RU486, which is a drug called mifepristone. And the second drug is a drug called misoprostol. And it's the combination of those two drugs that's prescribed by the abortionist. The mifepristone is an antiprogestin. It blocks progesterone from being able to be processed by the body. And progesterone is necessary to maintain pregnancy. So without that progesterone, the uterine wall would begin to shed, just like a woman's having her menstrual period, and it stops the development of the placenta and the nourishment of the baby in the early stages. So that first drug essentially starves the baby. And sometimes, if it's early enough, the baby will just pass as if she's having a period with the blood. Later on, the misoprostol is necessary to start uterine contractions, and then the baby is passed that way.
Okay, so sometimes then just that one pill, she'll just have to take that mifepristone, and the baby will pass.
Correct. Sometimes if it's early, in the United States, for example, a chemical abortion, medical abortion can only be used up to 10 weeks. And of course, at 10 weeks, the baby is still pretty small, probably about an inch long. And sometimes they're prescribed this medication much earlier, so the baby may just pass from that first drug.
Okay. And then sometimes the second drug is necessary to take, and that's what causes the contractions.
Yes.
And the baby to be expelled.
Yes. It's prescribed that way. They're told to take both drugs, but
okay.
Second one may actually be redundant.
And so are there legal or safety guidelines? I mean, are there just downright laws that say how far along a woman can be to use the pill, either here in Indiana or in the country in general?
In the United States, the FDA has approved it for up to 70 days. In other countries, that varies. In the United Kingdom, for example, they can use it up to 22 weeks. There's some other countries in Europe where it's, you know, 12 to 15, 16 weeks. But in the United States, 10 weeks. And we know from experience that it's used later than that. But that's the legal limit.
Wow. And so, you know, I'm just, as you're saying this for the age of the baby, when the baby is expelled, then that's really got to shock the mother sometimes, huh, of what's coming out, you know, if they're going to look and see.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's much more traumatic. You would think that the ordeal of going through a surgical procedure would be more difficult, but this is actually much more traumatic. The women that I've talked to that have been through this, either that sought out reversal or in post-abortion ministry, it's a very traumatic procedure because, number one, they're alone.
Mm-hmm.
They're given the first drug in the doctor's office, in the abortionist's office, and then they're sent home to take the second drug at home. So typically, the baby will pass within 48 to 72 hours, and, you know, it may be on the toilet, it may be in a sanitary napkin, you know, it could be far enough along where they will actually recognize that it's a baby.
Wow, and I think that's something we just never think much about. You know,
Yeah. Wow,
that's just incredible. And also,
if you think about, you know, I mentioned the United Kingdom, it's where it's used up to 22 weeks. You know,
Oh. A
22-week-old baby is, you know, probably close to a foot long and a pound or more. So it's very emotionally traumatic procedure for them. And as I said, they're alone. They don't have a medical staff there with them. They don't have typically any sort of support. So
yeah, and
it's,
you know,
very
what?
Traumatic.
And another thing that I think of too is that, you know, if you're going to deliver your baby, you know, so to speak, in your own bathroom, you're going to pass by that bathroom all the time. You know, it's going to be there. I would imagine that's got to be really hard for the post-abortion too, to have that reminder. Do you think that's
absolutely? You know, women will tell me that they can't drive down the same street as a Planned Parenthood facility where they got their abortion or got the abortion pill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when that happens in the home, like you said, it makes the home an unwelcome place.
Right, right. Wow. So is this a common method, Dave?
It's very common. It's expanding exponentially. It's almost 50% now in the United States. Abortions are done through medication. In some countries, Sweden, for example, is 99% medical abortion.
Wow.
But the United States right now is 50%, and the abortionists love it because, you know, there's no surgery involved, typically, if the pill works properly. So they're prescribing a pill that costs, you know, $10 or $20, and they're getting the same fee for the abortion. So abortionists love it.
Yeah, money-wise, and I would imagine, too, they don't have to
Right. Deal
with the fetal remains.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, wow. So how effective is the drug then in ending the life of the child? Because I know, don't they, too, the women have to sign off on saying if it doesn't work, they will have to go through the surgical. So how often
Correct.
Does that happen? And
it's pretty rare, actually. Each drug, the mifepristone and the misoprostol, individually are about 70% effective if either one is used by itself. When they're used together, it's about 97% effective.
Okay, all right. And are there any risks or side effects for a woman who takes the abortion pill, just, you know, for her safety?
Absolutely. The greatest risk is that she may not pass all of the fetal remains, or if later on, as the placenta has begun to develop, that there may be some material that she doesn't pass that remains that can cause infection and serious health problems later on. Women have died from medical chemical abortion.
Yeah, and that's pretty serious. Yeah, what about long-term effects? You know, that's got to be some potent chemicals in there, too. Do we know any long-term effects?
Well, the mifepristone has not shown to cause any real significant health effects. and also does not cause any detrimental effects to the baby, no birth defects. Even pro-abortion or pro-choice organizations such as ACOG, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the AMA, they acknowledge that the mifepristone does not cause birth defects and is relatively safe for the mother. The misoprostol is the one that is more dangerous for both. It does cause birth defects if that drug has been taken and the baby survives.
All right, now, if there is one blessing, from this particular abortion method, it's this, and it's that the procedure can be reversed, right, Dave?
Yes.
Yeah.
It sure can.
Yeah. So tell us about that. What happens if a woman has thoughts about after having taken the abortion pill?
Well, if she has taken the abortion pill and regretted it immediately, mm-hmm. which we're seeing more often, when I started in post-abortion ministry, we would typically... my experience was I would see women that were 10, 20, 30 years down the road from their abortion. And because of the availability of information from, YouTube and all different media sources, there's more information out there. And I think women are recognizing earlier that some of these symptoms that they're experiencing, the depression and anxiety and regret and shame and all that, is attributable to their abortion. So if we've had several cases where the woman regrets her abortion immediately, and if she does, then the effects of that pill can be reversed.
Wow, okay. And who pioneered this reversal treatment? Do you know?
Well, there was actually two doctors, and they had both had patients come to them experiencing this early regret, and both of them were NAPRO doctors. The first was Dr. Matthew Harrison. He's a OBGYN in North Carolina. And in 2006, one of his patients came to him and said she had taken the abortion pill and wanted to know if he could do anything about it. And in 2009, a doctor, an OBGYN in San Diego, Dr. George Delgado, had the same experience. Somebody came to him seeking help. And they were both NAPRO doctors, natural procreative, which uses natural means to increase the likelihood of maintaining pregnancy without using fertility drugs and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we
had sorry.
I was going to say, we had recently an interview with Marilyn Haywood, and she is familiar with NAPRO technology.
Right. So one of the tools that they use in NAPRO technology is progesterone, and progesterone is used to help to maintain the pregnancy when the natural levels of progesterone are low. So both of these doctors understood this, and the way that pill works, the first pill blocks that progesterone. So the idea was, if we add some progesterone, it may overcome the effects of the pill. And it did exactly that. Both cases, they were successful the first time. And after Dr. Delgado got involved, he and Dr. Harrison connected, and they founded an organization called Abortion Pill Reversal, which is based in San Diego. And since that time, we've had about 500 wow. successful live births following abortion pill, women taking the abortion pill.
Wow, that's incredible. So over 500 babies are alive then because of that, huh?
That's right.
Wow. So how long does a woman have if she changes her mind?
24 hours is safe. 48 hours is probably pushing the outside limits. We had one case where a woman was started on the reverse at about 48 hours, and she had already begun to start bleeding and cramping, and it was a little too late. But certainly the first 24 hours, and the most critical thing is that she has not taken the second drug. Once she takes the second drug, the likelihood of success is much lower, and the likelihood of birth defects, if the baby does survive, is much higher.
Okay. So is there any more? What is the treatment to reverse the abortion pill? I know you said that getting progesterone. Does it involve anything else?
Nope, that's it. Progesterone, lots of it. They take progesterone daily for the first 3 days and every other day for the first 2 weeks, and then twice a week until the end of the first trimester. And at that point, the progesterone level is tested, and if it's in a normal range, then they can discontinue the progesterone supplements.
Okay, very,
and
very simple.
We've had
method.
a couple of situations in Indiana where progesterone levels were still low at the end of the first trimester, and they had to continue taking progesterone longer. But both of those babies were born healthy. So it's a bit of a difficult process for the mothers. Their bodies are processing the abortion drugs, and they're processing these high levels of progesterone. So they are typically nauseous and fatigued and achy. It's not a pleasant experience, but if they can get through that, there's a very high likelihood that the baby will survive.
Wow, yeah. Can you tell me how many doctors or other medical providers in Indiana are currently doing abortion pill reversals?
There are 5 that I'm aware of.
Wow, that many here in Indiana. That's wonderful.
Yeah, there are 5 that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I'm in communication with the organization in California, and they will typically let me know if somebody else joins the network. I haven't heard of anybody else, but there is possibly 1 or 2 more. But 5 that I know of.
Okay, wonderful. Well, if you are just joining us today, I'm interviewing Dave Bangs with the postulate with the abortion pill reversal. And Dave, I know you mentioned, okay, so 500 saved all over the country. How many in Indiana?
8.
8, wow. And were you there for all of those or pretty much all of them?
No, I was there for 6 of them.
Okay, wow, that's a lot. That's wonderful. And overall, what is the success rate of abortion pill reversal?
Well, APR, the organization in California, says it's about 70%. It's been much higher in Indiana, and I think part of that is attributable to the fact that they've had close follow-up support. Sometimes because of the the physical and emotional things that they're dealing with as they're going through this reversal process, they will discontinue or they will go and seek out a surgical abortion. So even though they've regretted their decision, the circumstances that led them to seek out abortion in the first place usually haven't gone away. So that's still a factor. And then when you add to the top of that the difficult physical aspects of going through the reversal, some of them will discontinue it. But with close support and coaching and encouragement and, somebody to walk through this with them, I think it can be much higher than that 70%.
Yeah, and that's probably your main task, would you say, is to be that person that walks through them. Yeah, that's wonderful. And what is the cost of this if a woman is interested?
In the state of Indiana, there is no cost because our organization will cover that cost as long as we're, called in and involved in it.
That's wonderful.
Typically, it costs about $300 if someone were to pay for that themselves. That's if the progesterone level is back at a normal level by the end of the first trimester. If it has to go longer, then, of course, the cost goes up a little bit.
Okay. And are there any possible side effects of the progesterone on the mother?
There are some studies that show increased risk of breast cancer with high levels of progesterone, and there are other studies that show that there's not. The thing to keep in mind is that this is a very short-term, it's not like they're taking these the progesterone supplement for years. It's a matter of a few weeks. So the risk is very low. Most of it is just the physical difficulties going through it early on.
Okay. All right. And Dave, last year a bill was introduced that would expand Indiana's informed consent laws to include information on the abortion pill reversal procedure. And it required the informed consent forms to include a list of websites and phone numbers that could provide information on potential reversals, I think, as well as names of local medical professionals who could aid in that procedure. So, if a woman did change her mind and I think, that's really where choice comes in, right?
Right.
But the abortion industry fought this, and I know you testified in support of this bill. So my question was, whatever happened to that bill? Did it pass? And what? And also your experience on
Yeah, it did not pass, unfortunately. It passed. I testified in a House committee along with 2 reversal doctors and one of our first mom who went through the procedure herself.
Oh, wow.
So it passed the committee and it passed the House, and the Senate committee chairman refused to hear it, so it died in the Senate committee. We're hopeful that it will be resurrected at some point, but right now that's not on the table.
Okay. All right. Something to keep in our prayers, because it just sounds like such an important bill to have. Are you currently working with any women going through the APR right now?
I am not. The last one was just about 2 months ago. Unfortunately, she did not follow through with the protocol and lost her baby. But that was my first experience of a loss, which was difficult for me as it was for her. But it wasn't until after what she might have called nagging on my part for several days, she finally realized that she needed to stick with the process, and by that time it was too late. So she ended up losing the baby.
Yeah, that's true.
But there are none going on right this moment.
Okay. And Dave, you know, the time gets away from us and we're quickly running out of time today. So I want to ask you one final question. And just for sidewalk counselors that are out there on the street, what can she say to a woman who's coming out and she notices she's got that little brown bag with that abortion pill in there?
Right.
What can she say to that woman?
I think the first thing that should come out of your mouth probably is it may not be too late.
Okay.
And then if there's the opportunity for a conversation, the abortion pill can be reversed. Just get those words out there.
Mm-hmm.
And even if she walks on and gets in her car, those seeds are planted. And if she experiences that regret, she can get on the internet. If a woman types in anything similar to abortion pill regret, abortion pill reversal, APR in California will pop up. And then I also think it's a good idea for sidewalk counselors to have a sign with our local phone number on it, which is 1-866-55-REVERSE, which will send them to me to contact the doctor and then begin the support process as well. And, of course, if she calls us, then there's no charge for the reversal either.
Okay, great. Dave, thank you for all that you have done for the pro-life movement, both locally and throughout the state. We ask God's blessing upon your work, especially upon that new pregnancy care center you're helping to work out there in Kokomo, as well as on the APR ministry that you're involved in. So, and we ask our listeners...
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we ask our listeners to please keep Dave and all of those involved with this apostolate in your prayers, as well as those mothers who are going through the APR process and awaiting the delivery and birth of their children. So, Dave, God bless you.
God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today. May your final days of Advent be blessed and spiritually fruitful ones. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.